that yet, do I?
Start us off.
I am out of practice one day off, and I'm out of practice. Good afternoon to colleagues and members in the audience. Today is Tuesday, May 8th, and this is the House Committee on Education, the Subcommittee on Education Innovation. Members, we just have one bill, and we're going to do a work session, and we had three people that had signed up to testify on last Thursday, and so we're going to have those testify today as part of the work session. So with that, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 392A, and Mr. Olson, if you'll remind us what we're working on.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 392A lowers the minimum age for required school attendance to 6, directs the State Board of Education to adopt rules ensuring that a child beginning public school for the first time be placed in a grade level appropriate to the child's cognitive development, applies at the beginning of the 2008-2009 school year. Committee has before it, we discussed this bill, as the chairman mentioned, on Thursday, May 3rd. Since that time, we got this morning two proposed amendments. The A2 amendment replaces the text of Section 4 to clarify that a child who is 6 years old and starting public school for the first time should be, quote, placed in consultation with the child's parent or guardian in a grade level that is appropriate for the child's development, end quote. So it deletes the word cognitive and adds in explicitly consultation with the child's parent or guardian. That's the A2 amendment. The A3 amendment would delete the entire text of the bill and would replace it and do the following. It would direct that, quote, all children who are 5 or 6 years of age and who are enrolled in a public school or a school district of a school district are required to attend regularly the public school. It would direct that the parent or guardian of the enrolled child who is 5 or 6 years of age must ensure that they attend school, and it would apply at the beginning of the 2007-2008 school year. So my understanding of the essential difference of the A3 versus the text of the bill is that the A3 would only apply to children once they are enrolled, whereas the bill applies to children based at an age level. Madam Chair, we have three people who had signed up to testify when we ran out of time on last Thursday. Would you like me to?
Yes, please.
We have Tootie Smith, Daryl Adams, and Larry Hall.
Yes, why don't you come ahead and we'll just do both, and so we have people here and available. Former Representative Smith, would you like to start us out?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Tootie Smith with the Oregon Family Council. I just took a look at the amendments just a few minutes ago and was discussing, you know, what they might do or not do. My testimony is based on what the bill looked like last week, however.
Right.
And I will continue on some points but not make all the points. You know, at Oregon Family Council, we acknowledge there's a problem in the public school system in that some parents are not as diligent as others in enrolling their kids and keeping them in school, which I do think it's very important that they do. High school dropout rates are very high in some school districts, which I think is horrid. However, we thought some of the provisions in this bill went beyond that, in that it punished the good parents for actions they may be taking for the good of their child without considering some alternatives. For instance, you know, it's a well-known fact that we start some kids in sixth grade, and they get started, and within a week or a few days, we realize, well, maybe, you know, they should sit out a year. And then the parent has the option to pull them out and then re-enroll them as a first grader. We would like that provision to stay. And then re-enroll them as a first grader. Now, based on some of the testimony in the Senate, we found a little troubling because, well, some of the folks that testified or some of the committee members said, well, you can take them out if you don't think they're ready and then homeschool them for the first grade and then re-enroll them as a second grader. We kind of object to that, too, because we don't feel that a lot of parents are really capable of homeschooling. And I'm one of them. You know, I graduated summa cum laude from college, But if you think that I'm going to sit down with my first grade daughter and try to teach her addition and reading, I don't think that I'm really the best person for that. And so I consider myself one of those people at that age who's really not that qualified to teach a homeschooler. And so with kind of that in mind, and then there are people, too, on the opposite end of the spectrum who maybe don't have the resources available to them, like the computer or books or special things that you buy that the homeschooling people do, and they're very good. So that was a little bit troublesome to us. I just read over the amendments. I honestly like the language better in the Dash 2 amendments than I do in the Dash 3s. The Dash 3s go to the age of 5, and I think in the Dash 3s the wording is still not as clear as it could be. I don't want the bill to be punitive to our good parents in the development of a child. In the Dash 2s, it takes out the word cognitive development, and thank you very much for that. And then it consults with the parent. You know, if the parent comes in, and you can tell, I think educators can tell, because you're all very good at, you see a child, you see their parents, you see how they act, you may see other discernible qualities like how they're dressed, how they speak, and you can tell if that child is going to be okay at home. Okay, so I do think it's important for the educators to sit down and listen to what the parents want to do. Any questions? Is there any clarification for me that I may not be understanding about the amendments?
If you go ahead, Representative Minnis, but then we'll have the other person testify.
Oh, if you'd like to wait, I can wait.
Okay, let's have both testimonies so we can have more of a general interaction and dialogue if we need it.
My name is Larry Hall. I'm a homeschool grandparent right now. Went to public school myself, and it was a good education back in the 50s. But I just want to share a couple of things, a few things here with the committee. I wrote to all of you committee members an email on April the 30th, so it probably should be in your file. My wife tells me that I'm goofed up here. I said we decided to hold back third child until age 7. Should be hold back his first grade. All three boys did the kindergarten before that. But even then, Tim was having a struggle reading and doing the first grade work, even as a 7-year-old. Yet, he surpassed his older brothers just tremendously as time went on. And he's the only one that finally finished college. And, you know, Mrs. Grant and I think somebody else said last week that once a child is behind, he stays behind. And that, I think that's a true statement. But
whoever has the cell phone going off, so you're going to provide a potluck next week, okay? There's a couple of them going off.
We're just checking. Making sure.
Thank you, Mr. Hall.
Okay. And, see, what was I saying?
About how your one son excelled later on.
He did so much better as time went on, both academically and physically and in the sports. And he's the only one that went on to college. He's probably the top wage earner of the three boys right now. We just love them all and love their kids, too. That's Tim's only problem. He hasn't found a wife yet. But at any rate, that's one of the things that we... And I really feel that the parent... It was Phyllis and my decision to hold him back, and we never, never regretted that. And I think the parents should have the authority to do that. And, you know, like your Dash 2 amendment is good, but it doesn't say who has the final authority. And I think the parent should have the final authority to decide. The parent knows that child more than anybody else, more than people in the school system that just maybe have tested him or something or seen him for a very short period of time, if they have at all. And that's why I really feel that this should be the parent's prerogative. Let's see, I wanted to talk a little bit about this amendment. I think the Dash 2 amendment is better than the raw bill, but the Dash 3 bill, I think, has really got some problems with it. Like that second edition down at the bottom of the page says every person having control of any child who is 5 or 6 years of age and who is enrolled in public school or school district is required to send such child to and maintains a child in regular attendance at the public school during entire school. That doesn't leave any room for somebody that moves to a different community, has decided that for whatever reasons they needed to homeschool. Our first boy we had to take out of public school because it was obviously getting to be a bad environment. We heard, by the by, that one of the teachers apparently had been arrested for marijuana use, but she got off. They didn't have a good probable cause when they made the arrest. But anyway, we took him and put him in private school, Salem Academy at that time. And it was just like the difference between night and day. And that's where he finished up. All of our boys finally finished up in private school. But the parents need to have that option to switch schools, to move away. And this this Dash 3 amendment just seems to just nail them down and says, thou shalt not do that. It seems to me you've already got compulsory attendance laws. And I have not read them, but I am assuming that they certainly do make provision for people that move to a different town and all of these things I've mentioned. And that ought to be the thing that should be referenced in any amendment, I would think. That's all I have.
Thank you so much. And we have a couple people on the panel of our colleagues here. Representative Minnis, please proceed.
Judy, I'm unclear on the Dash 2s. Does that mean you guys support the bill with
the
Dash 2s?
We could come closer to supporting the bill. Yes, we could. We wouldn't be in opposition. If it says in consultation with the parent's guardian, that's still, and he makes a good point, who's the final decision person here on this? If the school authority suspects that they need to take control of the situation, then they override the parent's decision. I question, to me the language is not clear as it could be.
Okay.
I think that needs to be worked on. I really do. We would have trouble with that, in all honesty.
Okay.
And maybe staff, or maybe this is a better question for the agency, but what kind of tools would the agency have to compel a parent to put their child in that? What currently do they do if somebody doesn't send their kid? What are their tools?
Don's
going to answer.
Now you have to be there at age 7.
Right. No, I understand.
And I see
not
this.
Not what happened.
If you're not there at age 7, then we will find out why.
Okay.
You could be homeschooled. You could be in a private school. But you've got to be somewhere at age 7.
But what happens if they don't? What is the school district doing?
Then then the parents are responsible. And I'm not sure where we're going.
It varies from.
Yeah, there's.
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
We're trying this time. We're trying, you see, to follow the procedures. It varies from district to district how well they implement the compulsory attendance laws. And some, our county used to have a county truancy officer, and you can actually take them to a circuit court, mm-hmm. and they can be fined or whatever if they choose not to. So that's kind of the limit that you can go to. Other districts, hate to say, oftentimes ignore it. Or don't do much, because it does take extra resources and money, and so some don't put money into that deal. And I don't know that there's any penalty for the school district to not pursue it.
Not at that time. Not at this time. There's no current statutes for penalizing that inaction. Representative Dahlem, did you have a question?
Are we in work
session?
What we were trying to do, at least with the Dash 3, was to say...
Can I have a clarification? Is this a question for the panel or for us as a committee?
I would suppose us as a committee, but I wouldn't mind sharing with the panel either.
Okay.
The point was, with the Dash 3s, was to... When a student enrolled and started first grade or kindergarten and mom or dad had no particular compelling reason to see to it that they got there... This said, if you make the decision to go, you're committed. But I honestly believe that we do have to have some space. I know of cases where a first grader has started and maturation wasn't right. They did not belong there.
Right.
And so I wouldn't want to say that when we try and start that there's no backing out, because in some cases, it's best all the way around.
Thank you, Representative Dahl. I'm Representative Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess what I would ask the panel, in the Dash 2 amendments, it doesn't change the text of the other bill, and so it still does bring the age down to 6.
Mm-hmm.
So all it's doing is changing the one portion, which has to do with how we identify where the person is going to be placed in the schools after they come there. So I guess that's my first question. I have a second one. Does that bother either of you?
It does bother some of our membership.
Okay.
I was looking at the Dash 2 amendments as being permissive, making the entire bill permissive. Now, am I wrong in that assumption?
My answer to that would be you are wrong in that
assumption. I am wrong in that assumption.
The permissiveness is only with respect to where they're placed. And I like that. I mean, I think that's a really important thing. But it makes permissive the way in which school districts, the rules that are going to get promulgated, will not use cognitive. They'll use other ways of identifying where the person is placed. But the requirement of being there at age 6 is still there with the Dash 2s. On the Dash 3s, it basically leaves the age limit at 7, but says for those who have chosen to go, they are now under the current rules for anybody else that is 7, i.e., once you've enrolled, you're under the compulsory attendance laws. So this really doesn't change the compulsory attendance laws.
Well,
when
you
see the may and the will, it just changes the date at which you are expected to be under their tutelage.
Madam Chair, Representative Roebling, with that in mind, you could probably adopt both because they are not in conflict.
That's true.
We are still concerned with the minimum age being dropped, you know, but I think the committee has come a long way on your amendments from what it was before, because to me, my interpretation, at least somewhat, is it's permissive. I understand Representative Dallin and what he is saying. If you enroll your kid, then, you know, leave him in there and don't mess with him. But like you say, parents still need some wiggle room. I think, am I clear on that or no? I mean, to bring them out, I think that's our main thing. There's a lot of people, you know, behind me are saying they're very firm on age 7. But if it's going to fly, I think it's going to fly. I'm trying to be extremely pragmatic and work with the situation. To me, if it's more permissive, to me, it's more palatable. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you. And at this time, if there are no other questions for this panel, I will dismiss them. Okay, I'm watching fingers here. Did you have a question for the panel?
I think I'm for the work.
Work session, okay.
Yeah, work session.
Representative Dahl, did you have something else for the panel?
I am hearing two different things here. And I think we should clear that up. The age with the Dash 3 stays at 7. Okay, and now we're all on the same page with that.
Yes.
But if you enroll, you stay enrolled. There is no wiggle room right now.
Right.
But we have kept the enrollment age at 7. Okay.
That's correct.
I thought I heard.
So we don't have anything in the Dash 3 clarification.
So long as you're speaking in the microphone, we can all hear you,
okay.
Representative Roebling.
What I don't see in the 3s is anything about placement. And it totally substitutes the whole bill, right?
Right.
Okay.
If I can add a question,
please,
it leaves out
Mr. Olson.
My understanding of the two amendments is the Dash 2 is designed to modify the existing bill, whereas the Dash 3 is designed to replace the text of the existing bill, and you're correct, does not include language regarding the placement of a child who first enters public school.
Yes. Can I ask a question? I apologize.
That's fine for the
initial hearing on this. But what is the problem? I mean, is there a widespread problem with this issue? And this has probably been asked and answered.
I'll try to answer that. I think there is a widespread concern.
Yeah.
How we address it as a problem depends on each district.
Oh, can I dismiss the panel? Thank you.
Sure.
Yes, because we are officially now going to start our work session. Representative Roebling,
just an answer.
Consider.
Yeah. We have a number of first grade teachers around the state, lots of districts. I originally thought it was only in ours, but after having had conversations with lots of people, where you have a young person that comes to school and they're really great attendance for the first month, and then something happens in the family and they don't bring the kids. So then this district goes to impose the issue of truancy. We need to get the kid there. And they find out that they can't do anything because he's not seven, he's six, even though they enrolled him. And what's happened, in some cases it's been a divorce in the family and the kid just gets shuffled off to the back. In other cases it's people who, when we started enrolling, I hate to say this, but when we started enrolling him in school, we didn't realize it was going to be so hard for us to get that kid to school. So they just don't get him up and get him to school. And we're not talking about our homeschool folks, we're not talking about those other people, we're talking about people who thought school was going to be a great place because it helped take care of their kid, but then they had a responsibility getting there was not so good. And these teachers who really want to help this child have no tools to try to make sure that they keep him in the school. That seems to happen in districts more often than I would like to say it should. So that's where this problem came from. And that's why the age limit is the issue.
If you just, Representative Wisdom, if I could make a comment real quick. The other thing in response to why is this possibly a problem, in being in a school district and in a community that has that a high level of poverty and also second language learners, what we have seen repeatedly with the age at seven, a number of families do not send their children, obviously, and then there is such an incredible bigger gap with so many people. We do have all-day kinder, and so if somebody's been to all-day kinder and has a tremendous amount of influence with reading and practicing with their parents, then all of a sudden in second grade, because first grade they're all kind of level, and then they get into second grade, and then there's this really big gap between what one student can do and the other, and it takes quite a bit for in some of them, a really long time to catch up with the rest of them. So right now, with the age at seven, it creates a tremendous gap, and that gap, particularly with students in poverty, tends to increase rather than decrease. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Back to the testimony that we had last time we discussed this, I'm still looking, as Representative Minnis said, where's the problem? And even in the staff summary sheet, we say we don't know how many kids we're talking about here. I talked about this at the last minute. Are we trying to address truancy? Are we trying to address the minimum age for school? And I still support leaving our minimum age for required school attendance at 7 years old. Now, and I think that, as I stated before, complies with the progressive states of Washington State and Pennsylvania. I think that looking at these amendments, I think maybe the two together, and if we change the amendment number 2-2 to 7 years instead of six, I could probably support the amendments. Because you're addressing your truancy problem.
Thank you, Representative Wisnett. Representative Dahlin, Representative Roblin.
I know we get confused. It's okay.
I know.
We're confused.
I apologize.
I guess I would love to hear from the department, if that's okay, about either of these amendments, just where they are, if that's okay.
Well, I don't have any problem with it. I was sitting here in bated breath thinking you're going to make a motion so we can act one way or the other. Mr. Allen, do you have any knowledge, expertise, authority, any of the above to share thoughts on this bill?
Chair Compa, members of the committee, for the record, Morgan Allen, Department of Education. And unfortunately, Dr. Pat Burke, who came to the last hearing and provided some really good information, a lot of the points that have been brought up, had to be in Newport today to make a presentation. He's planning on being at the full work session for the full education committee. But I did have an opportunity to briefly mention the concept of the two amendments, and Dr. Burke's preference was the A2 amendments, taking out the word cognitive and giving some more flexibility to the parents. He thought that was a good idea. But if there are specific questions, I can get those answers for you from Dr. Burke, and maybe I can take a shot at some of them as well.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Allen. Representative Roblin.
In that light, just to get the conversation to continue, whether we decide to move this bill or not is up to us. I will, Chair, I move the -2 amendment, A2 amendments to Senate Bill 392A.
There's been a motion to add the dash A2 amendments into Senate Bill 392. I think this is A, right?
Mm-hmm.
And chair is open for discussion and comment. Representative Cannon.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I do support this amendment. I think the elimination of cognitive is important. And to Representative Wisnett's point about the way I read this, and I could be wrong, but the way I read it was that a child who is at least 6 years, I mean, I know that's it's not in there, but who is 6 years of age or older, sort of implicit, and beginning public school for the first time is placed in consultation in the appropriate grade level. So this does not speak to the requirement of when mm-hmm. the child is placed in school. It only speaks to the consultation that the school is required to undergo before it places the child in a grade level. The rest of the bill deals with at the age. So,
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Wisnett, Representative
Minnis. But if we had this,
mm-hmm. can I comment on Representative Cannon's? As a conceptual amendment, could we just take out the age and just say rules that ensure that a child beginning public school for the first time is placed? Why do you need to?
Chair, I think that would be clearer.
One clarification, if you are to amend this part, there's other parts of the bill that would have to be amended because, again, this just goes to what happens when they start, but there's other parts of the bill that talk about the minimum age.
Section 2 of the bill.
Okay.
Makes it 6. That's why the 6 doesn't make any difference here.
Right. This doesn't affect the sort of substance of that age change at all. Right. One way or the other.
Okay.
I'm still in favor of 2.
I agree.
To clarify with the committee, Representative Cannon has the floor. Thank you. All right. Do you have any other comment?
I think we should move this amendment. And if you're taking conceptual amendments, I'd have no problem at all. I think it would be clear to get rid of that who is 6 years of age, and then we need to go on and discuss the rest of the bill, which has to do with the minimum age.
Thank you, Representative Minnis.
If I may suggest, Madam Chair, it might be helpful to have Legislative Counsel Cindy Hunt up here during this discussion. So she can hear the discussion, and we can all be more clear about what are these amendments, how do they apply, what is the body of the bill? Because I don't sense that everybody has the same understanding of the committee as we sit here today. So is it possible to ask her to come up and join us and walk us through this?
Yes, it absolutely is possible. And with that, committee, please stand at ease. And Mr. Morgan, you're back to the rest of the audience. Work session on Senate Bill 392A. And if you will help me by just asking Attorney. Oh.
Good. Oh. I'm not alone. Makes me feel better. Thanks,
Ozzy.
I know.
Thanks, Ozzy.
Council is here, and once she introduces herself, if we just be very diplomatic and nice and getting all the questions out. So, Cindy, if you'd go ahead and introduce yourself, then we have some questions.
Cindy Hunt, Senior Deputy Legislative Counsel, and I was not listening on the TV, so I'm coming in blind, so to speak.
Well, I've been told justice is, so. Representative Wisnett, did you want to?
Well,
I think you had some of the first questions.
Thank you, Mrs. Hunt. And starting our work session today, we talked about Representative Cannon like the dash two, but we talked about it really doesn't read right when you put in there who is 6 years of age. So our question is, I think as a committee we'd like to conceptually maybe omit that phrase, who is 6 years of age, and so this, it would read that a child beginning public school.
And just to extend that question, if that was done, what type of amendment would it take to make this
dash
bill
three.
A clean bill?
Or
like I say, if there's other places in the bill that would have to have some changes also.
Okay. Chair Comp, Representative Wisnett, I think I heard two questions
okay.
in there, so I'll take the first one. So if you take out from the dash A2 amendments the language that you just said on line 3, who is 6 years of age and, so then it reads, the State Board of Education shall adopt rules that ensure a child beginning public school for the first time, that still makes sense, so to speak. So you could take that out. But these amendments, you should be aware, leave in place a requirement that a child who is 6 is sent to school. And the way they do that is that they don't affect in the bill the first 3 sections of the bill.
We were also discussing the possibility of considering Dash 3.
Okay. And if you'd explain from your perspective what the Dash 3 okay. does.
So then what the Dash 3 does is that they, unlike the bill, if you have a child who is 6 years old, they don't place a requirement on the parent to send the child to school. But what they do is if you do send a child who is 5 or 6 to school, then you have a requirement to continue to send them to school once they're enrolled and to do so on a regular basis.
And just for my clarification, so if we did the Dash 3s, everything that's in the current bill would stay there, plus...
It replaces
the whole thing.
Chair Comp, yes, let me explain. The Dash 3s are a replacement for the entire bill. So what you see there, it's self-contained, unlike the Dash 2s, which are not a replacement of the entire bill.
Okay. Representative Wisnett.
But thank you, Madam Chair. But Madam Chair and Mrs. Hunt, in Dash 2, I don't think we want to say that children 7 to 18 must go to school, but only 5 and 6-year-olds have to go there all the time. I think you'd read one, because paragraph 2, line 9 and 11, you know, we just said the kids are going to be 7 to 18 years old, but we're only going to require 5 and 6-year-olds to go to school regularly.
Chair Comp, Representative Wisnett, I think the answer depends on if the committee wants to require 6-year-olds to go to school, mm-hmm. like the original bill, that's one set of amendments, so to speak. Or if you don't want to place that requirement, but go with the Dash 3s that are once you send them, then there's the requirement. You could also combine the 3s and the 2s, but just what's in the 2s and not the original bill.
When they're enrolled. Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone should.
Just a minute, representatives. Senator Walker, you've just come into the room. You probably haven't had a chance to look at the amendments.
Sorry.
That was a very wise staff member.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I would certainly like for you to have a chance. We're not moving anything very fast here, so you have time to look at the amendments so you can understand them.
Which one are you asking me to look at, the A2
both,
and A3?
Both the A2 and the A3. Thank you. Representative Wisnett, did you get your questions answered?
Yes, Mr. Olson clarified it. Very good.
It's okay.
Because we're back concerning the truancy, and that's what, because the truancy, it kicks in at 7.
The Dash 3s are about truancy.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
It requires it for the 1s and 5s and the 6-year-olds.
Yeah, okay.
Representative Roebling.
Thank you. I have a couple questions. The first one, on the Dash 2s, if you take out the child who is 6 years of age, out of that portion of it, then this new one would require that a student entering in kindergarten would require us to have a consultation with the parents.
Chair Comp, Representative Roebling, it would require any child entering for the first time, whether it be kindergarten, first grade, second grade, etc.
Or a homeschooler who comes back to the school district for the first time. Mm-hmm. All of those would.
All of those.
So it does open that up to a lot more consultation. A lot of that happens, but that is a, when taking it out, that does cause that problem.
Isn't the current statute, isn't that in the current statute or implied that there's, once the parent has to fill out the forms to enroll them?
But there's no requirement of a consultation, mm-hmm. and rules promulgated by the state department.
I'd like to hear counsel's response.
Chair Comp, there is not that requirement in state statute currently.
And your definition of consultation is then it's not filling out the form and getting information about the school, and it means actually a conversation with possibly 2 people. That was the definition by statute.
Yeah, I think the definition of consultation is it's a conversation between them, but you're consulting with them. It's not necessarily that the parent directs it.
Right.
That makes sense. They are consulting with them. they're asking them.
Right.
They are asking for advice. What do you think?
Thank you. Representative
Follow up on that same one. The difference is that this requires the Board of Education to adopt rules that tell you what that consultation is. So they would have to have rules for every such consultation, any other grade level, any time they came back into the school.
Okay.
Because that's what this does. And then, can I ask my other question?
Yes.
Is that correct? It was presented how you agree.
Chair Conf, Representative Roblin, yes, the state board would need to adopt rules. They could adopt rules, though, that could cover any time a child first enters. It wouldn't have to be grade specific. But they could get grade specific, too, if they wanted to.
Okay. Representative Roblin,
my other question. Yes, my other question has to do with the dash threes. In that one, any person having control of a child who is 5 or 6 years age who is enrolled in public school. So I'm enrolled, and then I, for the first term, and I just don't bring them back for the second term and don't enroll them. Having been enrolled the way this is written, are they still required to keep them in school once they started, or does a break in service require them to, they're okay again?
Yeah, Chair Comp, Representative Roland, I think the break means that they don't have to. Because under this, they have to be 5 or 6 and enrolled. It's two requirements. So if they're not enrolled,
right,
this doesn't apply to them.
So follow up.
Until they're age 7.
Right. So follow-up is, if a person, we have a requirement now in the state that after you've been absent 10 days, you will be unenrolled.
Dropped.
You'll be dropped.
Removed from
so
record.
Once you're removed, the 7-year-old takes place. So we really don't do anything with regard to improving the situation with a student that's chronically truant, in my opinion. What I'm saying is once we have dropped them after 10 days, we would have no way to pursue that parent or anything under this way it's written because they're not enrolled any longer.
Representative Comp, Representative Roland, yes, I think that's true.
Thanks.
If I heard you correctly. But if that's a concern of the committee, we could change that 10 days. I mean, that's state law. That's what we're here for.
We're verging onto a very technical world of student absenteeism that I'm passionate about.
I mean, the problem with the 10-day removal is that that's one of the requirements that keeps districts from continuing to get money for kids who aren't there. So
yeah, it's weighted
it has
funding.
Another issue for the way that so it has another purpose as well. So we start tinkering with a lot of other kinds of things. So my concern is I'm, just so you know, I'm okay kind of with the conceptual idea of the amendments in the brief that say once you've made a choice to put the student in, they have to fall under the compulsory attendance laws. That's it. You don't get another choice. If you're out for 10 days, compulsory, we're still coming after you. And letting some parents make a decision if their kid starts a little later. But if I can't get a... If this doesn't do it, I don't want this one. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me at all because it doesn't do what I was hoping it would do.
Okay.
So, thanks.
Thank you, Representative Robe. I'd like to have Senator Walker come forth. And just so that you know where we're at in process, Senator, we have a motion to adopt the dash two amendments, A2 amendments, and I'm not too clear whether Representative Roblin still wants those or not.
I do. I'm still okay with those.
Okay.
If we reveal as it is. So.
I am so glad that your staff called you because could you just, in short summary, what was your intent with this bill? And are we leaving the intent of this bill by talking about truancy? So two questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I appreciate that you allow me to come into your work session. The intent of this bill is to make sure that our children start school at age 6. That's the intent. And with all due respect, the Dash 3 amendments seem to be rather complicated and get us far afield of what we're trying to do here. I appreciate the Dash 2 amendments. I would accept those as appropriate because I understood from the comments at the last committee there were some folks who were concerned about social development as well as cognitive development, and these Dash 2 amendments would get to that issue so that parents still are able to have some say in the placement of their children when they're first coming to school. Our goal is to get
kids to school as early as we can, age 6. Some states are age 5. I mean, I'd go there if I could, but we can't. We don't even have kindergarten, all day kindergarten in this state. So I'd like to start at age 6, move it down from age 7, and make sure these children stay in school, because as my testimony indicated last time, if they're not age 7 and they're in the first grade and they miss a lot of school, there's no person who can tell them to stay in school because they're not, it's not required under state law. And so these children get way behind. And as I indicated, brain development is what 90% of brain development occurs from birth to age 5. And if we cheat these children out of any of their educational curriculum, I think we do them a huge disservice. As well as getting these children in school, particularly the low-income children who don't have access to services, when they're in school, teachers can see what their needs are. They can assess their needs. They can get assistance. There are all kinds of things that school teachers and schools are called upon to do today that they never were called upon to do before. And that's why I think it's important to make sure these children are in school.
Thank you. Representative Minnis?
Senator Walker, how are you?
I'm fine. Good to see you.
Nice to see you. Could you tell me if a child, and usually it's boys, not always, but boys sometimes develop at an older age, and if they're 6 years old and they're not ready for school and they're not ready to sit in a cool school setting, I had a couple myself that just weren't ready for school, how would this bill apply to them if they're at 6 and they can't really function in a classroom, they're fidgety, they're not ready emotionally. How would this bill apply to that kind of a situation?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Minnis. It's my understanding that with this bill, and even with these amendments, the State Board of Education will adopt rules so that it ensures that they work with parents on with the young children who they don't feel are quite ready to be in school. They would put them in age-appropriate education. If the child's not ready for first grade, it's likely they would probably be in kindergarten. I think those are the rules to be developed. The rules to be developed are that they are public hearings. All those rules that you read about, that we get notice of, about administrative rules, they're all public hearings that allow for people to come in and have input on the development of those rules. So all the Oregonians out here who have fears or concerns about this bill will have input.
So you would be comfortable with just leaving that up? You don't have an opinion as to whether a child, if that child is not emotionally suitable or not ready, and they're just immature, you'd be comfortable just sort of leaving that up to the department to draft those rules and figure out how to shake that out.
And my goal is that, Madam Chair and Representative Minnis, that children start school at age 6, if not before. And if at age 6 a parent comes in and says, my child's not ready to start first grade, then in consultation with the district, they will place that child in age-appropriate education, which may be kindergarten. But the child will be in school because they are age 6.
Please. And how would you resolve a conflict if the parent and the department have a disagreement about where and when that child should start school? How do you believe that conflict should be resolved?
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Minnis, that's a good question, but that's not an answer that I have, because I believe that's an answer that would be developed in the rulemaking process so that folks have an opportunity to have input on how that would be best resolved. We passed the statutory legislation, and then the reason that we allowed for these rules to be adopted is to allow greater participation by Oregonians and parents in the adoption of those rules.
But sometimes if the bills we pass have unintended consequences. Well, so it's good to have on the record kind of what our intent is, and they can draft their rules and that kind of thing. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but these are going to be, you know, I can see some scenarios coming forward where there is going to be a clash between parents and the department. And if we can make it clear on the record what our intent is, I think that's helpful for the department.
I think also, Madam Chair and Representative Minnis, you could have a situation where a 6-year-old is far superior to other 6-year-olds in their cognitive ability and may wish to be placed in second grade. And that, I mean, we haven't even talked about that scenario at all. So age 6 coming to school for the first time, parent consults with the district and says, I think my child should be in second grade. And the district says, well, no, we don't think so. Your child's not been around other children. And the parent comes back and says, but they test very high on their IQ. So this is the kinds of things that you would talk about in the rulemaking process and how you would determine the age-appropriate placement for your child in terms of grade level. I simply want to make sure kids are in public school, or if they're not in public school, at least they're being homeschooled, or they're in a charter school, but they're in school at age 6. That's the intent of the legislation.
Thank you for the clarification.
And if I messed anything up, I know the department's in the back of the room and they can correct me, but that is my intent, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Senator Walker or Council Hunt? Representative Wisnett.
For Council Hunt, thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes.
And Senator Walker, I respect you and like you a lot. I was voted twice for the parachute bill, but I'm having some problems with this one.
Okay. Well, that's okay. We can agree to disagree.
Councilor Hunt, has there been any challenges that you know in the courts concerning the mandatory requirement in the other states?
Wow. Chair Comp, Representative Wisnett, I can't think, none of the cases come to mind. But that's not to say there hasn't been any, because that's not research that I've done.
Because, follow up, Madam Chair?
Please.
Because this is giving the state the power over your children. Would you agree with that as a lawyer?
Chair Comp, Representative Wisnett, the state power over your children. It's changing the requirement of when you send your child to school to the extent that that's giving the state power. I think that's a decision for you to make.
Yes, sir.
That's the lawyer answer.
Well, because I think as Representative Menace brought up some strong points, and Senator Walker, you know, answered her questions. But if I go to the school board and the school board says, or school district, or, you know, and that's not clarified in the bill. It only says Department of Education. It doesn't say they delegate it down to the school district. It only says the Board of Education. So I go and I don't disagree. So who gets to cut the baby in half?
Chair Comp, Representative Wisnett, the other statute that's not in the bill that this bill did not change is the exemption from the mandatory child attendance law. And those exemptions, some of those have already been discussed, homeschooling, private schools, private teachers, those kinds of things. And so this bill doesn't necessarily affect that. The part that it would affect is that if you have a six-year-old and you don't think that child should go to public school, you still have those other options of homeschooling, private school, etc. So that is maybe one option for some of the parents.
I was low income. My parents did not have the choice to send me to private school.
The only comment that I would make, and that staff just reminded me, is the fact that the State Board of Education develops the rules. And it is up to the school districts to implement them or to apply the rules.
Madam Chair, I would agree with you, and I was going to enlighten Representative Wisnett about that, because I can't imagine the State Board of Education is going to want to hear all of these cases about children coming to school. It's really up to the district. We provide the bigger picture, and it filters down to the district, and there's still a lot of flexibility in how they implement those rules based on the rulemaking.
Representative, thank you, Senator Walker. Representative Roblin and Representative Cannon.
My question is just kind of a follow-up with respect to Representative Wisnett and his idea about state control. I think the Supreme Court has ruled that the state does have an interest in children. That's why we do have compulsory attendance rules. And so by moving it from 7 to 6, we do, in fact, take on that role with respect to the state. And I wanted to get your concurrence on that one, if you do. And then along with that is the idea that it does – also, and I brought this up last time, and it's happy to have you back, by the way. So we did miss you. It is the idea that it also gives rights to that child, because these are property rights, the ability to go to school, free public education. So that does actually increase their property right to a free and public education for an extra year in this law. Is that not true?
Chair Comp, Representative Roblin. As far as, yes, the courts have ruled that education is very important. I mean, if you look at Brown versus the Board of Education, comes to mind immediately. There are, I mean, absolutely fabulous quotes in that case talking about the importance of education in our society. On a state level, our state constitution directs us to offer a common system of schools. So, yes, obviously education is important from a legal perspective. And right now, in our statutes, a child has a right to a free, appropriate public education if they're age 5, because it directs the school districts that they have to offer children ages 5, 6, 7, on up to 18, and in some cases up to 21 if they're a special ed child. So they have that right already.
Thank you. Representative Cannon and Representative Dahl.
Thank you. I just wanted to draw the committee and Senator Walker's attention to one of the exemptions from compulsory attendance that's in statute currently, which is for 16 and 17-year-olds. And you can, the state board sets up a rulemaking process whereby 16 and 17-year-olds are exempted from compulsory attendance, assuming that they're, you know, employed or in school, in community college, et cetera. One way, possible way for it seems to me, would be to bring that required school attendance age down to 6, but also to direct the state board to set up an exemption process for 6-year-olds who, for reasons like those that have been brought to our attention, may really not be suitable applicants for school. So I'm just, there are these exemptions, and I appreciate counsel for bringing those to our attention. And we may say, hey, there should be flexibility on the upper end, but there ought to be a little flexibility down at the bottom end as well.
Thank you, Representative Cannon. Representative Dahlem.
I think Representative
and
Cannon
Representative
covered
Minnis.
What I was going to say. I want to look at my colleagues. When I have an advanced student and they present themselves for school, you can always place them ahead. And if things don't work out, then you can adjust that. But when a student, through maturation, is not ready, you have no choice but to wait until they come. Now, in my time, I have seen many 5-year-olds that were not ready. Many. I've seen a few 6s, some 6s, and very, very few 7s that weren't ready to start. So if I tell people they have to be there at 6, I certainly want some opportunities for parents to be able to say, and it won't happen very often. But when it does, it's very, very important to that family. But more important, it's important to that child, because a late start often does exactly what you're trying to do. A late start guarantees that when that student is presented with information, it's not a puzzle. It's exciting. It's a challenge. And they are ready, the material's ready, the teacher's ready, and it's a sight to behold. When that presentation is made and they're not ready, it's very painful. So I think Representative Cannon might be on to something, because I sure would want to protect that kid that's not ready to come. And there are not a lot of them, but there are some.
Have Representative Minnis first. Representative Roblin.
Do you know how many children this would affect overall?
Half those figures.
Is it true that most, and a follow-up, is it true that most families, in most cases, put the kids in kindergarten at 5 and just preschool? So how many kids would this actually ultimately impact?
Quickly, leafing, Madam Chair, Representative Minnis, I'm leafing through my materials to try to find that. It was in the fiscal report. You can find that. It's not a significant number. There was no fiscal, and that's why where I found it, there was no fiscal, because it wouldn't impact too many extra children. The department's in the back of the room. They might be able to find it more quickly than I, moving through this file.
Staff has it.
I have a couple things, Madam Chair, Senator Walker. One, in the revenue impact statement, there's some discussion of it. Secondly, there was a chart that was emailed around to members of the subcommittee from Pat Burke that has the enrollment by grade and gender, mainly showing that there was not a, the testimony of Mr. Burke, if I characterize it correctly, I believe, was there's not a large jump when you're going from first to second grade. Here's the chart you have. I can, let me read it. It's 19,504 kindergartners, 20,000 female, 20,068 male. First grade, 20,532 female, male, 21,762. And then it goes up, you know, there's along those lines. The one thing that was pointed out to me in the Department of Education previously, and some of the research on this, is that it's hard to have exact figures on, since you have age seven, that it's not exactly known who is not being captured by the data.
I saw the chart, but I would really like 2 years so I can look at an intact group. I'd like first grade and then be able to look at them when they go to second grade.
So you're asking for additional information, Representative Dahl?
Please.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair and Representative Minnis, I was handed a note from my staff that there's about 1,000 person difference in enrollment between first grade and second grade. I think that's what your chart showed.
Right.
But I think that's comparing two different groups, and I want to look at the group in 2006 when they were first graders and then in 2007 when they were second graders, and I get a much better feel. That may be an anomaly of the population.
If you want to pass that down so Representative Dahl can look at it, I'd just like to make a side comment. We heard testimony, I believe, last week that the current rate of population is 48,000 per year. So in a few years, we're going to have a whole lot more of them to talk about. Rather than 40,000, we'll have 48,000. So whatever we decide in 5 more years, it's going to be a bigger issue.
48,001.
pardon me? And one with Representative Cannon, yes.
Madam Chair, as I was leafing through my file, I found an email I received from Colt Gill, the superintendent of Bethel School District, and he laments the fact that they can't enforce truancy laws on children in kindergarten or first grade. And he says, mandatory attendance at 5 years old should have come with the law in the 1980s that required all districts to provide kindergarten services. So Ms. Hunt indicated a moment ago that we are supposed to be providing a free public education to all children age five.
And up.
So I don't think we're asking too awfully much here.
Representative Roblin, you have a thought on our action?
Comment. Yes.
Okay.
I actually like the amendment the way we've done it. I'm okay where we're at right now.
Okay.
I really like Representative Cannon's discussion about a rule because, and I just want to go on record as saying I hope that as this progresses, that they really do look at that as a possibility. And the reason for me is even, and it's part of what Representative Dolan said, but retention of kids is really hard on them. All the statistics out there shows that kids that get retained never catch up. And the option of people taking their kids out of school for that year, I have seen it work in numerous occasions so that they weren't really retained. They just took them out, let them grow up a little longer, and then they went in and were very, very successful throughout the system. And kids remember the other kids, especially in small communities where there's only a couple of elementary schools, that were retained. And it's always a stigma if they stay in that community that they were retained. And that's a horrible thing for kids to have to deal with. And so if we get it right the first time, it's wonderful. If we don't get it right, it can be really hard. And so if you have other schools you can go to, the kids don't even know it, and it can work out easier. That doesn't happen all the time in rural areas. So making sure that as we look at this rural deal, they take into consideration some of those kids would be important to me. And I hope that we do that. With that said, because I don't think the Dash 3s can do what I think they need to do. I mean, they just can't do it. It doesn't work. I would hope that that's where we would go and would urge people to support the Dash 2s.
Thank you. I just have one more question for Senator Walker before I think we're almost ready here to vote on the motion. but would you be agreeable to Representative Cannon's thought about in rules to have that flexibility, or how did you say that, Representative Cannon?
Well, to change the required minimum age to 6, but also
right.
require the state board to adopt the rules for by rule to establish procedures whereby a 6-year-old could be exempted from that requirement. So there would be a process that a family of a 6-year-old could go through, a process set by the state board, if they really wanted to seek an exemption to the compulsory attendance law for 6-year-olds.
So, Madam Chair and Representative Cannon, what we want to do is under your scenario, require students to be in school at age 6, but also require them not to be.
No. Require them to be in school at age 6, but also require the state board to develop a process whereby a family that wants an exemption to the law can follow certain steps and get that exemption. That's what 16- and 17-year-olds currently have. They're required by law to be in school, however...
They skip school a lot at 16
yes,
and 17.
Do.
I was one of those.
But they do have exemptions.
But
clearly
yeah.
identified exemptions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Representative Roblin?
Those exemptions, I think, came out because of a court case, Oregon versus a religious group back in the 1920s that said that 8th grade was the compulsory attendance rate, and that, and I can't remember the exact name of that one, but I believe that there was a court case that ruled that students in a particular religious group, I can't remember which one it was the Amish, that after 8th grade completion, the state's interest and the parents' interest, there was a collision in which the state needed to make some exceptions. So from that point on, we've had exceptions.
You never cease to amaze me, Representative Roblin. Representative Walker, what are your thoughts? Senator.
Well,
I'm sorry.
That's right, Madam Chair. I was a representative once. And I just got a piece of mail.
It says representative. I get ones that say it's senator. Well,
yeah, and it's mailed to my old house. Yeah, house H-491. It gives me pause. I understand what you're trying to do. I'd like to hear from the department about that. I know they're in the back of the room. I know I have eyes in my head, but I know they're back there. And if I, Madam Chair, if you would allow me to have the department come up and talk about that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, again, Morgan Allen, Department of Education. I'm going to back up a second, and I think what the committee is faced with after sitting through and listening to what I think has been two very good debates on this issue is I think everybody agrees that it's in the interest of the children to get them in school, and the crux of this disagreement is whether it should be 7 or 6, and that's a policy decision that this committee needs to make. My initial thought on creating an exemption is then why are we changing the compulsory age? If it's the policy will of the legislature, and we want to make a statement that children need to be in school at age 6, if we create a waiver process, then I guess why change the law? And that's a policy decision you guys have to make.
Right.
I think the department's position would be we prefer the Dash 2 amendments as they are and to change
okay.
it to age 6.
Okay. Just a minute. Now we have Representative Buckley and Wisnett, but Representative Buckley, you've been patiently listening.
Thank
so
you very much.
Give us your wisdom.
Let me ask Mr. Allen. Mr. Allen, is there any waiver right now process for age 7 for a family?
Chair Comp and Representative Buckley, I do not believe so, but I can double check that with Dr. Burke when he returns this afternoon.
I think
Chair Comp, Representative Buckley, there isn't a waiver process for someone who's age 7 and currently in statute.
And Madam Chair, the reason I asked the department to come up is because the Superintendent of Public Instruction had an identical bill to the one we introduced, so I felt that it was important for them to weigh in on that question, and I was feeling the same way that, we're struggling here to try to make sure our kids are in school at age 6, and on the other hand, we're going to have an exemption to not put them in school. It seems counterproductive to what we're attempting to do, though I understand.
Right.
What we're trying to hear, but I believe we've provided enough flexibility in the Dash 2 amendments to allow some changes for folks.
I think some of those questions have been answered. Representative Wisnett, you had a comment?
Question, Madam Chair. Thank you.
to Mr. Allen, I guess, in your research or Senator Walker's research, we were told, I think, by Mrs. Grant that several of the states, Connecticut, I wrote down, and Oklahoma, who have 5 years old, did have opt-out provisions in those requirements. Have you looked at those, and could they apply to the Oregon too?
Chair Comp and Representative Wisner, I have not had a chance to look at the Oklahoma or Connecticut laws, but if my memory serves me, both of those, and Senator Walker has a chart and can correct me if I'm wrong, but those two states had, I believe it was 5 for both of those schools, and they had to opt out for 5. Is that sound
until correct? The age of 7.
Until the age of 7, okay.
So they have not researched that. Thank you, Representative Wisner. Representative Roblin?
I'll ask one last question.
Okay.
Just so I get everything out here, and I'm totally happy with that.
I think we're doing a good job of chewing on this apple.
This is about dash threes. and right now it says in section two, part two, every person having control shall 5, 6, 8, who is enrolled. If that was changed to has been enrolled in the public school, would that change the answer you gave earlier?
Chair Comp, Representative Roblin, I believe so, because we would still have the exemption for homeschooled children that would apply to this. So in other words, if you were age 5, you were enrolled in public school, and then your parents withdrew you to homeschool you, then this requirement wouldn't apply to you. So, yes, I think that would change things.
So that would mean that once they had been there, they would be required to stay there. Compulsory attendance laws would, in fact, take over.
Correct.
From age 5 on at
Correct.
That point. And those who didn't choose to put them in until 7 could do so.
Correct.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that was clear in my own mind.
Okay.
And so I have at least one other option. Okay.
Thank you, Representative Roblin. Representative Minnis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I can appreciate everyone's heart trying to get these kids in school, get them educated. And I don't know anybody that's not interested in educating our kids, certainly. I am sensitive to the fact that I've had 2 boys, and one struggled when I put them in way early, and I had to make some adjustments. I'm very concerned that if we make it hard, fast 6 with no exemptions, that's bothersome to me. I think it's important to allow the parents some flexibility. If their child is not emotionally ready to go to school and sit all day, has a little ADD going on or something, it's very difficult, I think, to say at 6, that's it. I would feel much more comfortable if we did some exemptions or listed some things, maturity being one of them. I don't know how you gauge that, but just give parents an opportunity to have some sort of ability to appeal it if they feel in the best interest of their child that child's not prepared or ready yet to engage in a full day of school. So I the dash two certainly make the bill better, but I'm still not quite there, given I think parents need that other tool as well.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to excuse this panel. And committee, I'm going to call for a vote of the committee, and if the clerk would please call the roll. And this is to put the dash two amendments into Senate Bill 392A. Please go ahead.
Aye.
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 I will. Very reluctant. I will go ahead, hopefully, though, Madam Chair. Before I give you that vote, is this going to be?
This is only in respect.
Yeah,
this
is to. Thank you. Okay. But this is all we're going to do with this. Just adopt these amendments. We're not going to consider some of the other cases that Representative Cannon has suggested.
This motion is just for this adoption of this. Amendment.
I understand.
And the rest of it we'll ask after we finish the vote. Because, I'm open to...
It would determine how I vote.
Well, Representative, I'm not going to make any commitments for the committee at this time.
All right, fair enough. I think it does improve the bill. It's I still have a lot of discomfort. I'll give a courtesy vote. That's the best I can do.
Thank you.
Aye. Representative.
No.
Aye. The motion carries.
Well, we might as well get, if we want to keep working today.
If we want to keep working and finish before we go to the floor.
Should I wait to be called on?
Representative Roblin.
Chair Conn, thank you. I move Senate Bill 392A to the Education Committee with a due pass as amended recommendation.
There is a motion to move Senate Bill 392 as amended to the full committee. Comments?
Well, again, I believe that parents should have more of a voice in this process. And I think they should be afforded an opt-out if indeed their child is not ready to go to school. I think they should have a tool or an avenue to go in and make that appeal. So if we're not going to take this any further, then I'm going to have to be a no vote on this motion.
Thank you. Representative DeAlem.
I remember the diploma bill, and it took me a long time to get my arms around that until my colleague, Representative Roblin, pictured the student, and the picture of the student is coming. And I need a provision for that six-year-old that's not ready. Holding him out, I can make school a worthwhile experience. Putting him in, I can torture him and guarantee a failure. And so until I see some adjustment to the bill, I cannot support it in its present form.
Thank you, Representative Dahlin. Representative Roblin.
Thank you. It's really funny because Representative Dahlin had, and I have had great conversations, and his comments just a little while ago convinced me that it's okay to move this bill, and I'll explain to you why. He basically said, I haven't, you know, there's been a lot of kindergarten kids that probably shouldn't have started kindergarten or aren't ready for kindergarten. There's another group that at six, most of them are ready, but there's still some. And seven, hardly any. What this bill does, it says six is mandatory, but it can really take that six-year-old and put him down in kindergarten because of the consultation that we just made. So that means that he's going to be seven before he's in first grade. So we're kind of back to being okay for most of the people. And I think that kindergarten is a good place for some of those kids because they do get to walk around, having had a wife that was a kindergarten teacher and doing those things. And I still, I'm a firm believer that we have amazing homeschool parents. And I know that this puts them at the risk of having to homeschool them an extra year, which some of them just felt they wanted their kids to play. Well, I will tell you that play is sometimes the best teacher we ever have, and I think you can build play into doing that. So I think they can still work with their children to get them where they need to be and to do it. So I think I'm okay now with the bill as it is. If we want to work it some more when we get it to the other committee, that's fine with me as well, because I think that what we pointed out, there are some things that can be taken from the A3s, if we really want to play with that. And I think there's language now that we've gotten clarified from our attorney that could make that work too. So I would let that happen at the other place, and I'm happy to do with what we have.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Representative Cannon.
Well, Madam Chair, I feel very conflicted about this. I mean, the policy question, the basic one, is should a first grade age child, namely a six-year-old, be required to attend school? We do have mandatory attendance laws in the state. It's currently 7 through 18. We have made a policy decision that children do have to attend school. But I do appreciate the need for flexibility, I think, both at the upper and lower ends. I'm thinking back to a little exercise I did with my own classes where I ordered the kids by birth date. And it was very interesting to see the patterns that emerged. Kids who were old for their class tended to fit a certain kind of profile. Kids who were young, and I could look at this across several years of teaching and see that those patterns emerge. So these decisions actually, I think, are of quite a bit of consequence. I'm not terribly comfortable sending this on to the full committee with recommendation as it stands. I'm certainly comfortable allowing it to go there for some additional work. But I think that it does need that work in order to preserve some flexibility for those six-year-olds for whom a school is not necessarily the appropriate place to be.
Thank you, Representative Cannon. Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do understand the concerns that have been expressed. And I do know that you can't do one size fits all. And so it's very hard to set a policy that's going to address, we try to address the needs of the most that we can. And I feel that if there sounds like there's agreement that the needs of the most are best addressed by having six-year-olds in school. I'm very comfortable having families being part of the conversation. I really want families part of the conversation of where their child is going to be. For a six-year-old to be able to go to kindergarten, to that have a choice for the parents and district to make, I think it's very positive. And I think it might even be a kind of red flag in some respects with some students that if at age six they're not ready for kindergarten, maybe the resources of the community need to be brought into play at that point to find out what might that child need in addition. And there's also the opt-out of homeschool. And again, from the testimony we had on the homeschool bills, there's great flexibility on how homeschool is set up. Homeschool could be, for a six-year-old, it could be a parent reading a bedtime story, and the daytime is spent doing the type of games or whatever activities the parents feel are best suited for that child's development. So I'm very comfortable moving this bill forward, and I'm also comfortable in the full committee. If there's additional ideas in the full committee when we get to this, I'm very comfortable hearing those ideas. I think the shared intent is to make sure we serve the greater good for the most kids we possibly can, while making sure that the kids that are the exception are not damaged in any way. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Buckley. Before we vote on the motion, regardless, I want to commend the committee about the thoughts, the considerations on all perspectives. As a mother, as a grandparent now, I don't think any of us take this lightly. And I believe we have a responsibility as a committee to vet it the best we can. We know that we will have an opportunity, if this motion passes, to go do some refinement in the full. Representative Buckley has assured that. And so before I call for the vote, just know my appreciation for all of the, and it's thoughtful in the cognitive aspect of how we're processing this bill, because I believe it will have a lot of consideration and voice in the community if this bill does possibly get to the floor. So I just thank you. Yeah, I think we've spent a good amount of time today, and it's been well spent, and we spent time Thursday, and I know I've learned a few things along the way. So with that, if the committee assistant would please call the roll, and this is to move with Senate Bill 392A with the -2 amendments to the full committee.
Aye.
No.
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 Aye. No.
Aye. Motion fails.
Madam Chair.
Yes. Representative Cannon.
I am confident that this bill will be worked in the full committee, and I would like to make a motion to move it there without recommendation, and I would be certainly voting yes on that motion. And I think that, you know, my concerns have been heard, and I think that some exemption path may be explored there. I certainly hope that it is.
Okay.
On that same line, I would vote no here, but if Representative Cannon's concerns are addressed, I would consider a yes vote coming out of the full committee.
Can I restate the motion before we have any further dialogue? There's a motion to send Senate Bill 392 with the -2 amendments to the full committee, full education committee, without recommendation. Representative Minnis.
Madam Chair, is there a timeliness issue that you're in a hurry to move this on to the full? Is this something, since we're all pretty familiar with the subject matter in this sub, that we could refine the bill before we kick it onto the floor?
My only comment, Representative Minnis, because our colleagues that are in the higher ed committee and the other half of the full committee, I think they're going to be just as passionate in this dialogue as we've been. And I could refer that question to Representative Buckley, but we might have a couple of meetings on this in the full.
Well, I've never noticed the full actually having a discussion about things. That's been a problem.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure the full committee would like to chew on this bill as well.
But do you, Representative Minnis's question is, are we in a time crunch that we shouldn't? What is your...
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move this to the full committee. I'd like to keep on pace with the number of bills we have to hear in the month of May. Mr. Olson's done a fabulous job, I think, of scheduling this and trying to keep us aware of the kind of a lump of bills that will be coming from the Senate. And I think this would be good to keep moving in a good direction.
Thank you, Representative Buckley, for allowing me to put you on the spot like that.
Well, Madam Chair, we get rid of Representative Cannon, too.
Oh, well, that's not
true. I really would hope Representative Cannon, Representative Minnis would continue to be part of the dialogue for moving bill.
Well, and I do know that we have scheduled everything impeccably down to a pretty tight timeline. So I, too, would concur it would be best if we took action today, if at all possible. Representative Dolan, did you have a comment before we vote?
Okay.
No. Seeing no further discussion, if the clerk would call the roll.
Restate the motion.
Oh, I'll more than happily. Thank you. The motion is to move Senate Bill 392 with a dash A2 amendments, and that is to move it to the full Education Committee with no recommendation.
Representative Buckley.
Aye.
Representative
Kennedy.
Aye.
Representative Dolan.
No.
Representative Woodland.
Aye.
Representative
Woodland.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. With that committee.
Yes. May I make a motion?
Representative Woods. Absolutely.
May I move Senate Bill 392? I move that A2 and A3 be accepted into Senate Bill 392.
Where do you have A2 in, don't
you? The dash A2 is in.
A2 and A3 together.
But so you're doing a...
Just clarification.
Thank you.
Mr. Olson, since we've already adapted A2, do we have to adapt A2 again to adapt A2
okay,
and A3?
Okay, good point. I see.
Hey, Mr. Chair, I would have to double check to make sure, but I would believe the motion would be just to adapt the A3.
A3 into the Senate Bill 392 A2.
But I'm not sure the procedure after, since we've already adopted the
to move it.
A motion on the bill. I would have to consult with
right.
the clerk's office, I believe.
I believe. You're going to withdraw?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Representative Wisnett. Otherwise, we could stand at ease and check with the chief clerk.
You're hurting our brain, Representative.
Okay. The motion by Representative Wisnett is withdrawn to...
We will consider the next one.
I don't know. I can't remember what you all said, but it's withdrawn. And I apologize. But the half a dash two and the dash three sent to the full committee. Any other comment for the good of the order? Staff Olson, update for tomorrow?
Just members of the committee and who are on the full committee and members of the audience, we will have a full education committee meeting. At the moment, this bill was up for a possible work session tomorrow pending the action of the subcommittee, and I will consult with the chair. Prior to tomorrow's meeting, I'll consult with the chairs to see how we continue to have the bill up for tomorrow.
Thank you.
With that committee, thank you for your hard work. Meeting adjourned.